say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
God's Word.
God's Word.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is.
And my Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation of His will. Whatever says I am, that's what I am. Whatever says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I have it.
I claim it.
I endeavor
to obey His commands and to claim His promises. In Jesus' name. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word, and to live your word. Father God, I thank you that you will impart revelation unto your people. Satan, I rebuke you. You will not steal the word from the hearts of those who are receiving it today. Father God, I thank you for fruit being born in the lives of each person that hears this word. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, Amen. Glory to God. We're going to have a series of guest speakers for the next couple of weeks, but as I spent time in prayer, I felt like I need to put that off until maybe another month or so. We're going to have one of my friends, Pastor Hardy. He's going to be coming soon. You're going to love him. He's a little long-winded, but he's a good preacher. He'll be coming down here soon from New Bedford Church of God, a prophecy. And also Pastor Tom, if y'all remember, he came here last year. You know, he's an evangelist and a teacher. Y'all remember, how many of y'all were blessed by Pastor Tom last year?
Yeah.
Yes, I was too. I've been promising Pastor Tom that he would have an opportunity to come back in the next couple of, for the past couple of months. And he's holding me to that, but it'd be to our benefit for him to come back, because God has given him some things and some insights and revelation in His Word that I can't necessarily give you. Everybody, every minister doesn't know everything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God has placed specific gifts in the body of Christ. There are certain callings that some of us have that others do not have. That's why that's why you might find different personalities between me, myself, and Pastor Christie, for example. Praise God. You might find that we have different styles of teaching. You might find that he gives out insight that I don't necessarily able to give, and vice versa. Same thing when you hear Elder Steve and Minister Mary come up and speak. You find out that there are differing gifts within the body of Christ. It's like I told Mary one time when she was about to come up and speak, and she said that it's hard for her to teach people that she believes know the Bible. I don't know everything. That's why God has differing gifts in the body of Christ. I mean, I've read this Bible back and forth, I don't know how many different times. I've lost count of how many times I've read the Bible through over and over again. But every time somebody comes up here and gives some insight, I'm like, I did not see that before. How can I read the Bible and not see that? So, you know, we're going to be having people come here, and they're going to give you insights and revelation that I, as your pastor, can't always necessarily feed to you. Amen? But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to finish the series, which we started on some weeks ago, about how to get anything you want from God. How many of y'all want to get anything you want from God? If you don't raise your hand, you must be lying. I don't care how spiritual, how religious, how pious you think you are. When you pray, you really want to get an answer from God. You may sit there and say, well, it must be the will of God that that doesn't happen. Baloney. That ain't nothing but religious talking. We pray because we really want answers. And I got news for you. God just ain't as religious, quote unquote religious, as some people act the way they act. God is not quote unquote spiritual, as some people act. Well, I don't need anything but the clothes on my back. You lying. Don't even need it. When you lie, you die. You know you desire more from God than just the clothes on your back and just a box of living on the street. And God wants to give you more than that. God wants to give you many things, but He wants to do it His way. Say His way.
His way.
See, we read earlier a scripture that said that if we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. What things? When you read the verses above that, He's talking about food, clothing, shelter. God wants to bless you with good things. He don't want to bless you with mediocre things either. God wants to give you the best. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when a prodigal son, after spending all his inheritance and acting the fool, decided to wise up and come back to his father, the father ran up to him and said, "Give him my ring and give him the best robe." Say the best.
The best.
Now, this father is supposed to be representing the heavenly father. He asked, he told the servants to give his son the best robe. And then he told them to cut, to get the most fatted calf, the best out there, so we can have a party for my son. He was dead, but now he is alive. God wants to bless you with the best. Praise God.
Amen.
In both spiritual and temporal things. God wants to bless you. But you got to know how to get those things. Well, God has laid out principles in His Word. And it's simple. It's not hard. It's not a formula you need to follow. You just simply need to abide by biblical, scriptural principles. What I'm giving you here is not a formula. It is simply principles. You don't have to go step one, step two, step three. Just ensure that you are following what the Word of God says. Praise God. Amen. And so, we learned in the beginning, in Psalm 37, verse 4, if we delight ourselves also in the Lord, He shall give us the desires of our heart. We learned if we commit our way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass. That's the Bible. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart. Only if you delight yourself in Him. I see that hand up. I know you have a question, but this is a Sunday morning sermon. What's your question? Make it real quick.
What do you mean by delight thyself?
Delight thyself? I'm glad you asked that question. To delight comes from the Hebrew word anah, which means to be soft or pliable. It means to simply rejoice in God, be happy with God, to allow God to change you and for you to enjoy His presence. You know, if you're happy with God, you're happy with the right thing. God wants you and everyone here to be happy. Say, God wants me.
God wants me.
To be happy.
To be happy.
And so, He just wants you to be happy in the right thing. Some of us are happy with the wrong things. Ooh, I got my new flat screen TV. Woo! Go me. Go me. 42 inches. Or 52 or whatever have you. I mean, my brother, I went down, me and my wife went down for Thanksgiving to my brother's house. And he got this big flat screen TV. Man, jealousy wanted to rise up in me. Until the word of the Lord came and said, do not be caught up in material things.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I said, you know, what was I going to do with that big flat screen TV anyway? Glory to God. But and there's nothing wrong with having a big flat screen TV. I'm going to get one. But I'm going to get one as God allows, you know, in God's timing, not mine. Praise God.
Amen.
But the thing is, right now, I don't need to be happy in a flat screen TV. I'm already happy because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, I can't trade the joy and happiness that I have in Him. I can wake up every morning knowing if I was to die today, I'm not going to die today. I got a long time to live. But I got at least 40-something more years. But If I, no, that's for 50 something more years. But if I was to die today, I know I would go to be with my Lord. I can get up in the morning and have fellowship with the King of the universe. Some of y'all would be happy if you just got to shake President Obama's hand. Oh, I shook his hand. I ain't washed his hand for a whole month. Man, I get the fellowship with the person who's above President Obama.
Yes.
Man. And actually, I get to call him daddy. Amen. I don't have to worry about any need that I have. And I mean that literally. I have, after 20-something years of walking with the Lord, I have found him to be true to his word. Ain't that right, Taka Cook?
Amen.
I mean, God has met me every time I've had a need. I have never gone without. Yeah. Never in these past 25 years. From the time I have come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, he has met my every single need.
Amen.
Oh my God, I remember when I first, before I got saved, and I was in Edwards Air Force Base, California, and I had just gotten married, and my wife was pregnant with that one over there, and she was in Japan, trying to do all kinds of paperwork to get herself to the United States. I was sitting in California, broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to get my wife over here to the United States, first of all. And then if I got her to the United States, I didn't know where we were going to live. I didn't have no money for a house. I didn't have no money for a car. So I didn't know how I was going to pick her up from the airport. I didn't have no driver's license. Man, I was in trouble.
Yes.
Trouble. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't know what to do, where to turn, where to go. But then somebody came to my dormitory room and invited me to church. And that's another brother who's going to be coming here to speak real soon. My brother Clifton Pop. Well, you'll get to meet him. Brother Cliff. Good brother. And I gave my life to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me. And I mean, the Lord, within 1 week, did everything. There was just no way I could deny that it was him. I mean, I got they took me downtown. I took my written test, and no more than about I can't remember how long it was, but it was a very short time. I took the driving test, got my license, I got approved for a loan, got approved for a car, and then the people in the base housing unit said, oh, we're giving base housing now to people of your rank. And so I was able to get a house on the base, utilities all paid for by the United States government.
Amen.
Not only that, then my wife wrote me and told me, oh, honey, they approved of my passport and my visa. I'm coming to be with you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God did. Oh, I wish I had the time to tell you that story in detail, because it's a lot more funny if I was telling you in detail. But we need to get to these principles here. But I'm telling you, God took care of this brother right here. Since then, that was back in July of 1984, I have not been able to ever doubt my God again. I've never, in these 25 years, ever had to doubt God. I mean, even in my worst state, God still took care of me. Oh my God, how could you ever doubt a God like that? So I'm telling you, you delight yourself in the Lord. It's hard for me not to be happy with the God I serve. You delight yourself in him, everything else will fall into place. Praise God.
Amen.
Now we look down the first couple of weeks. We just want to go through these things real quickly, what we talked about before, so we can get to the next point. We looked at the fact that we need to first check our motives for wanting the thing that we want from God. See, you can't have things from God if you have the wrong motive for wanting it. Amen. Just like the big flat screen TV, I almost got jealous over it because my brother had it. That's the wrong motive to want a flat screen TV. What am I going to do? God, so you gave my sinning brother a big 62-inch flat screen TV? What about me? I've been serving you for yay long. You don't get things from God that way. That's the wrong motive. Lord, I need a 52-inch flat screen TV so when we have fellowship, we can all watch movies together on a big widescreen TV. Oh, okay. Now I know I'm going to get it. Because I have the right motive for it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I want people to come over to the house. I want them to be able to enjoy themselves. I don't want hundreds of saints at my house and everybody's fighting to try to look at the little teeny weeny TV. So we want to get my wife and I want a nice large house so we can have y'all come over. That's what we're believing God for, our house. But the house we live in, many of y'all have been over my house. It's a simple house. If it was just me and my family I was concerned about, we don't need a bigger house. As a matter of fact, if I didn't like y'all, I would keep that house. Then I have an excuse not to invite y'all. Nope. My house is too small. I don't want y'all over my house. No, we're getting a big house because we want y'all to come over more often. We want y'all to hang out. We want to hang.
Amen.
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 That's the right motive.
Yes.
We want the fellowship with the saints. We want, you know, sometimes people may need a place to stay.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta have evangelists and guest speakers coming out of the state, out of the country. We can't be putting them up in expensive hotels. Praise God.
Amen.
We want to be able to house them. Glory to God.
Amen.
So have the right motive for wanting the thing that you want. God wants to bless you, but are you willing to share it? You want a car? You willing to give somebody a ride to church? Glory to God. And then after that, when you determine your motive, then search the scriptures and find out look for God's promises, look for His commands, look for His conditions. Find out what God has to say in His Word. You see, your faith will never go anywhere, will never go further than your knowledge of God's will.
Amen.
Listen to me. Some of y'all need to write this down. Your faith will never go any further than your knowledge of His will. If you don't know the will of God, you can't have faith in God. Some people they like to gamble with God, you know. They like to shoot the dice. Well, let me pray about this. If I get it, then it's God's will. If I don't get it, then it ain't His will. No, that's not the way prayer is supposed to work. You should know the will of God before you pray. If you can't find it in the scriptures, then you ask God about it. If you feel like you want to go to another state, like you want to go to Alaska or Greenland or Iceland or somewhere like that, you ask God about it. If He says no, then don't pray about it no more. If He says yes, I want to send you over there. It's my will and my desire to send you to such and such a place. Then you keep praying, you keep believing, you keep standing in faith until you see the manifestation of that thing. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, me and my wife, we were just talking about the time oh man, this is a good story too. But I'll tell it another time. But I know when I was in the military in Korea, and I was believing for an assignment to go back to Okinawa, and I got the assignment to Okinawa, but then they decided to change it to Florida, and they would not change it back to Okinawa. But God had specifically told me that I was going to Okinawa. So I continued to stand in faith, until it was almost time for me to leave Korea, and my assignment changed to Okinawa. I'll expound on more of that in another time, but I'm going to tell you, if you stand in faith, you know God's will, you stand on that thing until it happens. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to know it first. So that means you got to search. Say search.
Search. Yes.
You got to seek. Say seek.
Seek.
Say search.
Search.
Seek.
Seek.
You got to search the scriptures or seek the Lord. Or a combination of both. Search the scriptures and seek the Lord. See, I tell you these stories not because I want to brag on myself or show you how great of a faith man I am, but I want to let you see that I know what I'm talking about. These principles that I'm giving you have worked for me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we're not the blind leading the blind here. So the next thing you need to do is recognize that it's God's intense desire to give you the desires of your heart. You got to recognize that. You see, because if you don't believe that God wants to do it for you, then your prayer will not be fervent and in faith. See, when obstacles come your way, when trials and tribulations come your way, that make it appear that God is just not working on your behalf, then it's easy to give up if you don't believe that God really wants to do that thing for you. That is why Jesus said, pray and do not give up. The reason why you are to pray and not give up is because God wants to do it. He longs to do it for you. It's his intense desire to do it for you. But many of us quit. And I'm getting ahead of myself because that's another principle that we're supposed to teach you. But many of us quit too soon. So first, understand that God longs to give you the desire of your heart. You need a breakthrough, God desires to give it to you. He wants to do it for you. He longs to do it for you. He wants to relieve you of suffering and pain that you're going through. And then we learned that those scriptures that you search out, and the revelation that you receive from God concerning your situation, you have to meditate on that thing. See, this is the step that a lot of people miss. They find a promise of God and they, ooh, glory to God, and they jump up and down. Ooh, the Bible says that by his stripes I'm healed. I receive that in Jesus' name. And if the sickness ain't gone within the next 32 hours, well, it must not be God's will. I give up. You know, my poor wife has been standing on the word of God for the past 3 weeks. She's been under attack. But you know what? She hasn't. I'm so proud of her because she has not given up. She continues to declare the word of the Lord. Every once in a while she jumps on my case because she thinks I'm so unsympathetic. But but I do care about her. I just don't want to, you know, they ain't going to do no good for me to be crying if she's hurting, right? I got to keep praying and believing God with her. So get the word in you. Meditate on that word. Get grounded in that word before you even pray about the thing. Let the word of God take root in you and grow. And then, as the word of God takes root and grow, then you'll be able to pray. See, that's why the Bible tells you that you are to meditate on his word day and night. Not just read it and then try to claim it. See, that's the thing, especially with temptation. See, we wait until the devil comes to us with a temptation, and then we try to find all the relevant scriptures concerning that. Well, let me see what the scriptures have to say about the lust of the eyes. No, it's too late then. How about knowing what the scripture says first, begin to meditate on the word of God, and then when you are confronted with a temptation, you can say, oh, wait a minute. The Bible says if I was to look upon a woman with lust in my heart, then I have already committed adultery. Wait a minute. Job said that he made a covenant with his eyes not to even look upon a maiden. Well, I've already made a covenant with my eyes, glory to God, that I will not look upon a woman like that. See, if you know the scriptures beforehand, I'm giving you a preview of the book that I've just finished writing, then you will know how to stand when the tempter comes against you. Amen? Amen. You will also know how to claim the promises of God and stand in faith in spite of what's going on around you, in spite of the circumstances that always seem contrary to what you're asking God for. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's get to the one that I really want to get to today. After you have developed your faith in God, go before him and petition him for what it is you want him to give or do. After you have developed your faith in God, then go to him and then petition him for what it is you want him to give or do. Now remember, this is after you have developed your faith in God, not before you have developed your faith in God. Just reading this, you know what? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Say hearing.
Hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing.
It's more than one hearing. See, you can't just read the scripture and then already automatically think that faith is going to magically appear in you. And I think we preach that scripture wrong that way so many times. Well, brother, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, so here's the scripture. Now stand on it. No, so you've got to develop your faith. You've got to keep meditating on that word, and then when the trials come, you've got to keep standing, regardless. Whenever the circumstances seem contrary to the word of God, you continue to believe what the word of God says anyway. Praise God.
Amen.
So when your faith has been developed, then you can go before God, and you can go before God with confidence. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. If you don't have a Bible, it's up on the board. But I would prefer if you turn to the Bible, because you need to know where the books of the Bible are at. If you don't know where the books of the Bible are at, look in your table of contents. Also, we might get you some Bible. We're going to try to get some Bible tabs here real soon that you can put in your Bible. That's how I learned when I was a baby Christian. I just put the tabs in there. So, because I got tired of every time the preacher said, turn to the book of, and I would have to look through my table of contents. By the time I found the book, he had already read from that book. And then memorize the books of the Bible so people don't trick you when they tell you, turn to the book of Hezekiah. And you find out there is no book of Hezekiah. Y'all remember that, because the next time I tell you to turn to the book of Hezekiah, I'm going to see how many people turn to it. Say this with me, say there is no book of Hezekiah. Amen. Hezekiah is a great godly king who's mentioned in the book of I think it's 2 Kings and the book of Isaiah, and in one of the books of Chronicles. But he is not. He does not have his own book, praise God. All right. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, say without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let's read that together. Let's just read the thing together. Say, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right. We must have faith. Faith is important. It is a must. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible. It didn't say, well, it is difficult. It doesn't say, well, it is hard. Well, it doesn't say, well, you're going to have a difficult time, but you might be able to do it anyway to please God. No, without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
That means it just can't be done. If you don't have faith in God, it just cannot be done. You just cannot please him. And if you don't please him, you can't get what you want from him. Amen?
Amen.
And God is not, and when we say pleasing him, keep you from getting what you want from him, we're not talking about doing a whole bunch of legalistic works. What we're talking about is simply believing God. You see, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says that those who do not believe God is calling him a liar. When you don't believe God, you are calling him a liar. See, how can you insult God and still believe that God will bless you? See, I know that, let me use Tommy as a good example. You know, me and Tommy have been, Tommy's been coming here for about almost 2 years now you've been here?
Yeah.
Okay, you've been here almost since the inception of the church too. You know, I have found Tommy to be reliable. He is reliable beyond a fault, except that he comes to church late. Other than that, if I ask Tommy to do something, I know it will get done. See, that's how much trust I have in this young man here. So if Tommy was to say, Pastor Troy, me and Lynn, you've been such a blessing to us, I'm going to take you out for a steak dinner tonight after service. Well, you know what? Y'all going to have to find another van driver. Because I'm going to go get me a steak dinner. That's how much I believe Brother Tom. Now, I'll make arrangements. But see, there may be some people that you know of that don't come to church often. They claim they're members here. I'm a member of this church. Yeah, I know I haven't been there in 5 months, but I'm still a member. No, you ain't. there are some people who tell me. I mean, I had a person call me. I was talking to a couple days ago. Yeah, Pastor Troy, I'm coming to church this Sunday. I told my wife, no, they ain't. Sunday, they ain't here. There's just some people I don't believe. Am I insulting them?
No.
It is because they have demonstrated their lack of integrity. People lie too much.
Yeah.
They lie. They tell you they're going to do something and they don't do it. So we that's why when some people say, I'm going to, oh yeah, Pastor, I'm going to be there Tuesday. It's one of those things I told Pastor Christic, you know, we were talking about another group of people who kept doing that. I told him, I'm sorry, Pastor Christic, but I don't have a lot of faith in them. I said, this is one of those, I believe it when I see it type of things. But see, with God, His integrity is so strong, I don't have to do that with Him. Praise God.
Amen.
With God, when God says He's going to do something, He will do it.
Amen.
And that is why I have faith in Him. Amen. And that is why if God does, if He says that He's going to do something and I don't believe it, then I'm calling Him a liar. Now, it's the same thing with me and my children. If my daughters was to ask me for something, and I say, okay, I'll take care of that for you, and then I overheard one of them say, you know, yeah, right, I'll see that, I'll believe that when I see Daddy actually do it. Now, if my actions in the past have warranted that, that's one thing. But if I have demonstrated myself many, many times to my children, and they still have that attitude, and I hear them say that, you know what I'm going to do? You know that thing you said that you wanted me to do? It ain't going to happen now. You know why? You just questioned my integrity. You just insulted me. You just called me a liar. You just said that my daddy is a worthless, no good liar. He ain't about to do nothing for me. Yes, he did it in the past, but I just, for some reason, don't believe him right now. Or if it takes longer than they want it to happen, you know, you see, God doesn't always give us a specific time, but if it takes longer than they want it to happen and it don't happen and they get upset and they say, well, I guess it ain't going to happen, you've just called them a liar. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you know, it is impossible to please God. So you are to stand in faith and believe God anyhow. And the thing is after your faith is developed, you must come to Him. Say, come to Him. That's where a lot of people miss it. They miss it on the meditation, but they also miss it on the coming to Him. See, a lot of people have this idea, well, God said that He knows what I need before I even ask Him. So, if He knows what I need, then why should I ever ask Him for anything? That's ridiculous. You must come to Him. Say, come to Him. We'll deal with that more in a little bit. But see, I want you to see something here. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Say, rewarder.
Rewarder.
God does not just reward. It is His nature to reward. See, that's why it doesn't say it doesn't just say that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. It says that He is a rewarder. See, you know, we've gone through the names of God in the past, and we're going to teach more in detail on that in the near future. We've talked about that His name is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that heals. It is His nature to heal you physically and emotionally and spiritually. We talked about how God is a shepherd, Jehovah Rapha. It is His nature to shepherd you, to guide you, to take care of you. It is His nature to provide for you. That's why He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who sees and provides. He is Jehovah Nissi. It is His nature to bring you into victory. It is His nature to be your rock. It is His nature to be your fortress, to be your protector. All of these things are His nature. Well, guess what? It's also His nature to reward you.
Amen.
God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Say, diligently.
Diligently.
He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Those who seek Him without giving up. He wants to reward you. That word rewarder comes from a Greek word that I can't pronounce, but you see it up on the board. But one of the experts tell me it is three words that forms a compound noun that literally means he who pays back a generous wage. Say a generous wage. God, we already talked about earlier the generosity of God. You got to recognize that your God is generous. He loves to give. He delights in giving. He wants to give to you. He who pays back a generous wage. It also has the sense of one who gives richly or one who rewards bountifully. This is the kind of God you serve, y'all.
Amen.
He is a rewarder. He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to do great things. He wants to do abundantly above all that you could ever seek or ask. He says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Oh, God wants to do great things on your behalf. Oh, I remember the story I read in the Bible about a man who went to Elisha, a king. And Elisha was on his deathbed, about to die. And he was about to go to war. And he goes to Elisha and asks him for God's help. And so Elisha says, beat your arrows on the ground. And so the man beat the arrows on the ground about 3 times. And Elisha got mad. He said, because you only did it 3 times, you will only defeat your enemies 3-fold. He said, but if you had kept beating those arrows on the ground, you could have obliterated those enemies. See, your faith has to expand. I like Jabez. We got, you know, there's a popular book, The Prayer of Jabez. But the scripture that it comes from is talking about a man named Jabez who asked God to widen his territory. And you know what God did? Widen that man's territory. God did exactly what Jabez asked for him to do. Man, we got to get beyond these little pithy prayers, y'all. God is a God of generosity. He wants to do great things because these things exalt him. Amen. I like what Dr. Ken Chant said. He says, faith never doubts that there is a vast generosity in God. There is a vast generosity in him. Oh, my God is generous. Oh, he's kind. Now, I like Hebrews 11:6 in the New Testament, the truth New Testament by Apostle Colin Urquhart. It says, by now you see that it is impossible to please God without faith in our relationship with him. We have to believe that he not only exists, but he actually wants to answer us when we pray. He longs. Say he longs.
He longs.
He longs to give us what we need when we seek him with sincere and earnest faith. He longs to do these things for you. Man, you guys got to get a revelation of this. It will heighten your faith if you understand that God longs to do these things, that he's a generous God. All that I think it sometimes just drives him. Well, not that he ever goes nuts, but I think he just sits there sometimes and says, man, I would like to do that. But they just, I mean, we see that in the Bible. We see that in I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, where it says that, oh, if they would just fear me and keep my commandments. And he talks about how he would bless them. But why pray if God already knows what I want? Why do we pray if God already knows everything that we want and that we need? And we're almost out of time, so let me go through this real quick. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Why do I need to pray if God already knows what I need? It just don't make no sense. Why don't he just give it to me? Why I got to spend the time asking him for it? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have. You see, when I'm honest and asking questions, I get answers from God, from the Bible. And I wonder, why do I got to pray? Why do I ask him? I used to pray, but I wonder, why do I do this? You know what I need. You know what I want. Why can't you just do it? Why do I come to you and repeat the very thing you know? Well, I don't know, but it's this principle that the Bible establishes. If we look at Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 51. And it says,
two.
Did I say two?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got 10 or whatever.
You got to give us a chance to get the 10.
Okay, y'all get the 10. That might actually be the wrong one, too, though. Oh, no, no, that's the right one. Yeah, Mark chapter 2.
2?
10.
10.
T-E-N.
10.
10. All right. Background of this story, as many of you are familiar with, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus. He was sitting on the side of the road, and Jesus was passing by with his entourage. And the man kept crying out, "Oh, thou son of David, please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me." And people kept telling him, "Hey, shut up. Leave the master alone, will you? Let the man have some peace." And so Jesus heard him, and finally he called him over, and then all the guys changed their mind. "Oh, the master wants to talk to you. Come on." And then we get to this part in Mark chapter 10, where it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I should do unto thee?" The blind man, say blind man.
Blind man.
Blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now I want to stop there for a minute. Jesus could see the man was blind. Now why is Jesus going to ask the man, "What do you want me to do for you," when he sees what the man needs? Isn't that ridiculous? To our carnal thinking, yes it is. Man, Jesus knows the man needs to see. Why don't you just go over there and just like he did in John chapter 9, just spit in some mud and put it on his eyes and just tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. No, Jesus has a method and a way and by which he works through the Holy Spirit and through his Father. He says, "I do nothing unless my Father tells me to do it." And he decides, and one of the ways that Jesus normally works, the Father normally works, the Holy Spirit normally works is, it's not your need that moves the Lord. It is not your need that's going to move him to do something for you. It is your faith and your asking. And you're telling him exactly what it is you want him to do that will cause him to do it. Praise God. You can't sit around saying, "Oh, man, my refrigerator's empty. I need some food. I don't know why God ain't doing it." Did you ask him? Well, no. He should know that my refrigerator's empty. He's all-knowing God. That don't mean a thing. There's a lot of people who need salvation, and they know that Jesus is Savior, and they're still going to hell. You know why? Because they never received him. It's the same thing with you. If you don't ask God, you don't develop your faith, you don't ask God, you won't get the thing that you need from him. And then in verse 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, Jesus said that this man's faith made him whole. Yes, it was Jesus that healed him. Yes, it was the power of God that healed him. But you know how he got it? By his faith. It was the faith that he had in God that made him whole. God so wants you to walk in faith. He so honors faith that he will even give credit to faith for what he did. Now, there are sometimes some of us that have been a part of the faith movement in which we bragged about our faith. Yeah, it was my faith that got me this. That's the wrong way to understand that. Amen? Now, true faith on my side, true faith in God says that God did this for me because I believe him. My believing is nothing but the hand that receives what God has already done on my behalf. It is God's part to honor me by saying, "Your faith did this." Not my part to brag about my faith. Amen? Amen. We got to understand that principle. We don't brag about how great of a prayer warrior I am. How great of a believer I am. No. My faith is nothing more than my simply saying, God's word is true. My God is a God of integrity. And whatever he says, I believe it. And I'm going to obey him and then receive the thing that he said I could have as a result of that. That's nothing more than that. It is not some great cosmological thing that makes me better than somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
That is one of the things that used to frustrate me back in the 80s, you know, during the charismatic movement. You know, that was a movement of God. It was wonderful. I want to see a lot of this stuff that happened back then happen more often now. But we did make some mistakes back then. We used to beat people down because we didn't feel like they had any faith because they were somebody going through a little trial. Well, you're going through that because you ain't got no faith. And then when we go through the same trial, well, it's just the devil attacking me. So, you know, we judging others for lack of faith and bragging about how great a faith we have. I don't want y'all to make that mistake, all right? I want you to be people of great faith, but I don't want you to think that you're somebody because you have great faith. Amen? Remember, faith is simply the hand that receives from God. And that is exactly what happened with blind Bartimaeus. He simply had enough faith to believe God to heal him. But understand that you don't get what you want from God until you have two things. Faith and prayer. Say that with me. Say faith.
Faith.
And prayer.
And prayer.
You've got to tell God what it is, what you want. You know, the old folks had a song that said, call him up, tell him what you want. You can call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want. I love those songs. Because they are so true. You can call him up and tell him what you want. But if you don't call him up and tell him what you want, you won't get what you want. Praise God. Amen. We are out of time. I have so many other scriptures I wanted to show you on this. But did you get anything out of this today?
Amen.
Glory to God. You're going to start standing in faith. Getting what you want from God.
Amen.
You got the right motives for it?
Amen.
All right. You meditating on the scriptures for it?
Amen.
You endeavoring to live a holy life?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. I didn't hear enough of y'all say yes on that last one. But that's the next portion of this. You got to live a holy life. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that it's because of our sins. Our sins have withholding good things from us. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25. Our sins withhold good things from us. Stand to your feet.
Amen.